This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 2-2 pitch. Wynn drives it. Left field. Hit deep. Back toward the wall. And the ball goes off the wall. It's an RBI double for Wynn. Carlson's throw goes into third. Wynn is in scoring position now, representing the tying run.
Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock, but we couldn't wait to talk to Bernie Miklas, who is co-hosting with me today. He is KMOX Sports contributor, host of the Gas House Gang, and he's with us on Tuesdays for our weekly chat with the manager of the Cardinals, Ollie Marmol, and it's always a really fun chat.
That segment is some of the best sports radio I have ever heard.
It's great.
Yeah.
Ollie, like, right? How do you feel about that,
yeah.
Bernie?
I like it. I love it. Can I follow up on Tuesday's show a little bit? You'll all appreciate this very much. Remember when I was having some fun with Ollie Tuesday, where I think it was Tom Ackerman prompted me to, but I don't, Ronge, if it was you, I apologize. But one of you guys prompted me, noting my Baltimore roots and saying, are you going to recommend something to Ollie?
Yeah,
where should Ollie eat in Baltimore? And I went on in this thing. I said, look, man, forget about like a chicken Caesar salad or a club sandwich. You can get that anywhere. Ollie, you got to go pound some crab cakes, man. Go pound the crab. So I'm getting started on my day yesterday about 7:30 in the morning, and I get a text from Ollie Marmol. And he shows me a photo of crab cakes that he had the night before after our show.
Uh-huh.
So. You gotta love that, right?
You got some influence, man.
So I gave him. We were laughing about that, you know. And it's funny. I got a text from him this morning, or actually, I asked him something. I said, "How did you win that game last night? Your hitter struck out 16 times. Your starting pitcher got knocked out in the fourth inning. You were behind 3-0 and 4-2. You left all kinds of runners on base. How the heck do you win that game?" And He said, you know, he texted me back. He said, you know, it was like we're going to the fifth inning, and I was talking to Dusty Blake, and I was talking to Daniel Descalzo, and we all just like looked at each other, nodded, and said, we'll find a way to win this game. These players will find a way. And they did. I mean, I love watching this team play baseball.
So that's really interesting because – there are teams, and they'll never admit it until maybe well after the fact, like after the season is over. But there are teams that will, whether it's the entire season or whether it's like a certain ballpark or a certain opponent, where they always feel like something bad's about to happen.
Right.
They'll never admit it in real time. They'll tell you later. But when you have it on the other end, and when you have it in such a way that you feel like anytime we go to the ballpark, no matter what happens in the first couple of innings, we're going to come back here. The fact they are there, Bernie, is very special. I just hope they can hold on to this for a while.
Well, that's the thing. And you can, you know, I was texting after the game last night with my baby brother, as in like 55 years old or whatever. But I was talking to my baby brother, Brad, and who's an Orioles fan. He lives there. And I said, you know, Brad, I was watching this game tonight, and I couldn't help but think, and this is a cliche, granted. I said, we saw two teams in this game Wednesday night. I saw one team that obviously has evolved to the point where they just know how to win a game like that. The other team, the home team, looks like a team this season, because they're terrible this season, that will find a way to lose such a game. That's exactly the difference between the Cardinals and the Orioles at this point in time. But as the Orioles offer a really important lesson here, the Orioles came out of a big-time tear. They were awful for 4 or 5 years or whatever. You know, and they won 100 games 2 years ago. They won 91 last year. And say, well, boy, these young guys learn how to win. Well, this season they've got the third worst winning percentage in the majors. The only teams worse are Colorado and Chicago White Sox. So you can learn how to win, but you can also lose it if you don't take care of business. But I have a feeling this Cardinals team is pretty resilient, pretty tough-minded.
Well, the offensive comebacks don't matter if the bullpen fails. And this team right now has got an incredibly effective and fairly deep bullpen. And how long is that sustainable, though? Because, you know, if the starters are going to give you four and a third consistently, which is what we got last night, that's gonna wreak havoc on the bullpen. You really need the starters to get deeper into these games.
You're so right, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Hancock. See, I'm confused with your
they're basically the same.
We had a guest yesterday that said told Mike that he asked great questions.
That was you
twice.
They have the exact same opinion, so they're pretty much the same guy.
This just shows you, you know, I know one of you guys is kind of liberal. One is kind of conservative. It just shows you. I don't care either way. I recognize you as a team.
There you go.
So I may call you by the other guy's name from now. I apologize for that.
That's fine. You should hear what my wife calls me.
But anyway, you know, the Cardinals starting pitching in this Baltimore series was, frankly, it was terrible. Fetty and Polanyi and Michaelis, they averaged less than five innings in the three games. They had an ERA of 6.14. The Orioles beat them up for like a 3.33 batting average, but the bullpen saved the day. These last two nights, in both of these games, the Cardinals had to win two in a row to win the series. And these two nights where they were comeback wins and they trailed in both games and the hitters got out in front of it. And then the last two nights, the bullpen put the two games together. Eight and a third innings of scoreless relief. I mean, Mr. Hancock, that just kind of reaffirms what you're saying. The bullpen turnaround has been huge. The turning point in the season was when Ollie Marmol and the pitching coach just kind of rearranged the bullpen on the off day and came up with a new plan on April the 25th. You know, and since that day, the Cardinals are 22-9, and they have the second best bullpen in baseball, according to ERA. See, that's the turning point to the season. And frankly, I think a lot of people just missed that. I don't know why, but they did. You didn't, because you're talking about how the bullpen's been, you know, pulling them out of fires for quite a while now. This team did not become what it could become until they got that bullpen straightened out, and they have. As far as sustainability, that's a great question. I think they are assembling some bullpen depth. I think they have some guys in the minors that can come up here and fill in when maybe some of the relievers are a little gassed. So we'll just have to wait and see, because bullpens are volatile. That said, the Cardinals had a great bullpen last season, and they never really wavered. They were really strong from start to finish. So it can happen.
So what you're talking about and the idea of sustainability and the bullpen performing well, that goes hand in hand with starters giving good innings. And you did say that in this past series, they didn't go deep enough in games. So if you look at overall for the entire season, the Cardinals are sixth in baseball in terms of innings by starters, which is very good. That's what you want. You want to be up there in that range. And the other teams that are in front of them, all of them are good teams with the exception of the Pirates, right? So that's a way to win. But if it starts to become a thing where starters aren't getting into the fifth inning regularly, that will start to put pressure on the bullpen again. So does it concern you that will happen, or do you feel pretty confident that was just one series? Let's not worry about that.
I think that it's a tough thing to answer, because I don't entirely trust the rotation. I should say parts of the rotation. But I also think that in this day and age, where really the standards for innings pitched by starters is really, really low, the Cardinals get more innings from their starters, even when you bake in the times that they don't. If you just look at the body of the work, they relative to the other teams, they actually come out pretty well in that evaluation. So I think they've already shown they're capable of averaging over five innings, like somewhere around five and a half innings. If you put all their starts together, they were in the top five or six in Major League Baseball the last time I checked. So
they're six now. Yep.
Yeah. So the these last three games don't change my outlook on that. Now, I will say this. I think Andre Pallante, first of all, I forgive Miles Michaelis. He couldn't grip his curveball in that wet mess last night. And as well as he's pitched, it's okay to have a mulligan there because he's been terrific. Andre Pallante is the one that concerns me because he's walking too many people. Right-handed batters are killing him. He's given up way too many home runs. And I think they'd be better served by having Michael McGreevy up here and letting Pallante regroup down in the minors for a while. I really, that's my one thing that I would plop down on the table. I've kind of seen enough of Andre Pallante for a while. I mean, his last eight or nine starts, his ERA is about 5.
Yeah.
And so, he's going the wrong way is what I'm trying to say. Fetty's a little inconsistent. Gray's good. He's not great. He's good. Libertor has been fantastic.
Yes. But also there's an innings threshold with him I am concerned about.
We don't know until we get there. And I think I think Marmol and Blake will be careful with that.
You talk about Pallante. That was the whole bugaboo with him out of the bullpen was he couldn't get the right-handers out.
Right.
And they finally got him working inside, and that seemed to work last year when he started the last half of the season. But you're right. He's falling back into that problem. And he would have to get stretched out at this point. But Steven Matz would seem to be a possible option for that rotation as well. He's pitched great.
And then they're going to go to the six-man rotation for a little while in June because they have a really, really rugged schedule. There's only like two off days, maybe scheduled off days. So they're going to have to call on all hands, So we'll see what happens. But I have enough confidence in all of those guys except Pallante right now, and they just need him to be a lot better. Michaelis, for what Miles Michaelis is at his age, he's having a really unexpectedly good season. But you have to ask, is that sustainable? Not just because of last night. You just have to ask that. Pallante, though, the problem is, see, Gray and Libertor and Fetty and all the starters except Pallante, see, they take advantage of the great defense behind them, right? Pallante isn't. Because even though he gets a pretty high ground ball rate, the one thing with this defense behind you, the one thing as a starting pitcher you cannot do is you can't issue silly walks, really silly walks, and you can't allow home runs. And see, he's doing both of those things now. A lot of dumb walks and home runs against him. That's how you fail to take advantage of your defense. And everyone in that rotation takes advantage of the defense. He doesn't.
Lastly, Bernie, before we...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say goodbye here. I'm still looking ahead to the trade deadline. It's, we're not close to that yet. We're still about 2 months away from that happening. And we talk about whether or not they add, if they're in the same position, a couple of games out or tied or in first place, if they add something at the deadline. Reliever seems most likely. It's always the easiest thing to get. Is it possible that they acquire a starter, or is it just more likely that this is what they have and this is what they'll roll with?
I'd be surprised if they do anything big. If the front office and the analysts in the front office, and maybe even Heim Bloom, has identified a starter who might be available who is better than many other teams think, and they can get him in a reasonable price. I could see the scenario like that. But again, it's not going to be a big splashy name, but it might be someone under the radar who's actually quietly effective. But more than anything, as they continue to trend positively, the Cardinals have the second best record in baseball in May, and number one record in baseball since May the 4th. If they can continue to trend in such a positive fashion, when you're getting closer to the deadline, the one thing John Mozeliak won't do is trade Ryan Helsley or trade Nolan Arenado. Not that there'd be a much of a market for Arenado, but if so, he's not going to subtract from this team in any way that matters. I mean, he would break the hearts of every one of those guys in the clubhouse. You can't give up on your team and do something like that. You just have to ride it out. And I know some of my friends, people I respect, they're like, no. This is not a team that can win the World Series. This is not a team that can do this, do that. You have to do the practical thing. And if you can trade Helsley, you trade him no matter what your record is. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that in sports. It just doesn't. Yeah, pragmatically, yeah, that's probably right. But, you know, we all need to get away from the calculator from time to time. And there is a human element. You remember when the Brewers traded Josh Hader a couple, three years ago?
Yes.
It just devastated that clubhouse. And the yep. Brewers fell apart. So you can't do that. Not after these guys have played their guts out so far to be one of the surprise teams in baseball.
Bernie, we will continue the conversation during the Gas House Gang at 12, which will start with the press conference from City SC after they have let go of their head coach. So, Bernie, mm-hmm. we'll talk again shortly.
All right. Great to be with you. Thanks, John Hancock, as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie.
Not Michael Kelly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.